The following podcast is by Mr. Jim Taylor, elder law and special needs attorney, helping and protecting those who need long-term care.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Answers for Elders Radio Network with Jim Taylor, elder law attorney. And we are talking about agreements, paperwork, discharge papers, all kinds of things, paperwork in regards to senior living, assisted living, and nursing homes, nursing, skilled nursing facilities, memory cares, you name it. We're all given paperwork to sign, and we are on the whole fact of this is part five. Jim, take it away.
Okay, so we've been talking about, we talked about admission agreements or residency agreements earlier, and for the in our last segment, we were talking about the nursing home or assisted living wanting to discharge the resident, your loved one. And now we're going to continue that discussion. There are specific rules under federal rules when a discharge is for a proposed discharge is for a failure to pay. There is no, quote, failure to pay if there's a pending Medicaid application. Now, I've had some nursing homes argue, and I assume they've done this successfully in the Department of Health hearings. In Ohio, Department of Health handles the discharge hearings, even though it's a federal law. Ohio Department of Health handles the discharge hearings. So whatever each state does, the federal rules still apply for nursing homes and assisted livings that accept money from Medicare or Medicaid. So I suspect that some nursing homes have successfully argued that it's a sham application if it's no different than an earlier application that got rejected. Mm-hmm. And frankly, as I mentioned in the last segment, I've got a discharge hearing in 3 days, and I suspect they're going to argue that, but I can show how it's different. This pending Medicaid turned us down because they didn't understand that money in probate court isn't available to the heirs until the probate court releases it. I don't know why they don't understand that, but they didn't understand that.
Yeah.
So if there's a pending Medicaid application that is at all different from any prior Medicaid application, or if there's no prior Medicaid application, then there's no failure to pay yet. Okay. If Medicaid turned down the resident or gave the resident a penalty period because of what they viewed as improper transfers, if there's a state hearing or an administrative appeal, which is in Ohio above a state hearing, then there's still no failure to pay while the appeal or state hearing or administrative appeal is going on. Okay. And if you want to take it to court in Ohio anyway, that's the next step. And that would still mean no failure to pay.
Got it.
However, plenty of nursing homes and assisted livings will ignore all that and will try to discharge someone despite a pending Medicaid application. If they can scare the family into taking a Medicaid pending person home, or scare the family into paying to keep the resident in, even though there's no obligation to pay, then they've made money or they've cut someone out who's a problem resident. So just the fact that they are prohibited from pursuing these discharge threats doesn't mean they aren't going to try.
Sure.
And if they can get away with it because the family didn't know any better, then they got away with it. If someone wants to challenge a threat to discharge, the appeal instructions must be in the discharge notice. If they're not in the discharge notice, then you find where they are somewhere and say inadequate notice, and you can make them start all over. Nursing homes and assisted livings have these things down. They have forms. Okay. So the appeal instructions are in there. In Ohio, they're through the Department of Health, and I fax my appeals in because then I can prove it got there. And then it tells you where to appeal. There should be a government office in Ohio's Department of Health, the general counsel's office, or office of legal counsel, I think they call it. Mm-hmm. And it has to say in the notice where you send your appeal. You have to include in your appeal a notice of the proposed discharge. So you have to have it in print. You have to have it on paper, or at least a scan or a photograph of it or something that you can attach to your appeal going in. Mm-hmm. And you have to copy the facility on your notice to the government agency that you're appealing. So make sure you cross off all those steps. Get it to the right office, include a copy of the proposed discharge, include a copy of everything you sent to the government office when you send it to the facility, the nursing home or assisted living. So you have these instructions need to be in the discharge notice. So that's why it's very important to have the written discharge notice before you go down this road. Okay. Mm-hmm. And since it's, you know, you've got 30 days, so you don't want to wait till the end, because if they, if you can't appeal soon enough, they can go ahead and discharge. If you win the appeal, they can, you then are first in line for your resident to move back in. But if you don't have an empty bed, you're waiting until they have an empty bed. Okay. Now, right now, with all the fallout from COVID, most places have empty beds, not every place, but they are filling up again. The need hasn't gone away because of COVID.
They absolutely are filling up here significantly. Yeah.
And then finally, our last slide today, the possible defenses, in other words, what you want to argue when you're trying to beat back a discharge threat. Okay. So you can challenge the reason for the discharge. Mm-hmm. If, for example, if the discharge is for failure to pay, show there's a pending application or a pending appeal. And again, you may have to show that it's different application than some prior application.
Right.
You can challenge the new destination or destinations. The appeal I have on Monday, 3 days from now, it happens to be a Friday, has 4 or 5 different places on it where they could discharge. So we'd have to argue why each one of them is inappropriate, even though none of them may be the place that take them because they may fill up in the meantime.
Right.
The big thing is to show that where the proposed, where the client, my client, your loved one would land,
right,
does not meet their needs. And if the proposal is to send them home or send them to a loved one's home, maybe yours, you show how it doesn't meet the needs. You can't, you're not 24-hour care. You have stairs. You don't have a first floor full bath. You don't have a bedroom that and a full right. bath together available. You have stairs from the living area to a sunken living room. Whatever it is, show why you can't meet their needs in your home, if that if home is what it is. Okay. If they need memory care and they're proposed to send to a place that doesn't have memory care, there's an answer right there. If they're sending to a lousy place with lousy reviews, you can maybe make that argument. I don't know if that one will fly, but it's something.
Right. Okay?
So you may want to look them up at the Nursing Home Compare or Assisted Living Compare on the Medicare.gov website. There are places where you can see the star ratings of the different facilities all around the country based on the last survey. Mm-hmm. So look there if you're trying to find out if a place is highly rated or not. If you have a care manager, someone from aginglifecare.org that we talked about in our first segment, maybe they can give input on this place cannot meet your loved one's needs. You may have to list them as a witness. You may have to pay them to be a witness. Okay. But if you're trying to beat off a discharge to from a place that is acceptable to a place that is not,
right,
that testimony may be very, very important. And then finally, if the nursing home or assisted living didn't give proper notice, didn't give the care, appeal instructions, it didn't give the reason for discharge, it wasn't far enough in advance. Even if they arguably fit one of those reasons not to give 30 days notice, no reason not to argue 30 days notice.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got one of those, if they were sent to a hospital, don't fight the discharge. They had to go to the hospital. Okay. If they were sent to the hospital for a hangnail because they want to be rid of the resident, now you can complain.
Okay. Right.
But if they were sent to the discharge to the hospital for pneumonia, they needed to go to the hospital. Okay. Yeah. So you can challenge any of these things in your appeal of the discharge notice. Now, in a hearing, the nursing home or assisted living should go first because they carry what's called the burden of proof, making air quotes now. It's a legal term, you know, just like the prosecution goes first in a criminal trial.
Right.
If the prosecution doesn't prove their case, the defense doesn't have to say anything.
Right.
Okay. Now, I'm not suggesting you never say anything in discharge hearing because you say that the nursing home didn't make their case because the hearing officer is probably not going to make that decision. You don't, these are very informal, at least in Ohio. So you probably can't make a motion to dismiss after the nursing home speaks because they simply didn't show a need. Okay.
Right.
But remember, in your, when you're trying to defeat a discharge notice, you're probably going to have to show why the new place isn't appropriate. Even though it's required to be appropriate when going on to the discharge notice, the practice in my experience is that if it's there, it's assumed by the hearing officer to be appropriate, even if that's complete garbage. So you have to respond. You can't, now you can ask, why is that appropriate? You can ask questions in, at least in my experience in Ohio, you get to ask questions of the nursing home or assisted living. Why did you choose this place? Prove to me it's appropriate. Why is it appropriate? Does it meet all our needs? You can make them go through the list of, you know, of your resident's care plan and how this place meets the care plan. But they may respond, oh, we checked and then we showed them the care plan and they said it's okay. That's probably an okay response. You need to be ready to be specific in your evidence that you put on. Mm-hmm. So challenging them is not easy.
Yeah. And you know what? It furthermore says that every family should have an elder law attorney in their back pocket because there's all kinds of situations that happen. And certainly with what we're dealing with every day in this country with healthcare and how things are changing, we never know what's been slid underneath us, you know, that we don't realize is going on. So, Jim, thank you so much for sharing this information.
Listeners, you need to keep in mind, for you, you're worried about your loved one's care.
Yes.
For the nursing home or assisted living, it's all about the money.
Thank you so much for sharing with us today. And this is valuable information to each and every one of you. Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be on.
State of Ohio residents, you have a friend to help you navigate long-term care while protecting your assets. You can reach Jim at www.protectingseniors.com or just email him at jkoewler-afe, that's jkaylerafe, at protectingseniors.com.
Hi, this is Suzanne Newman, host of the Answers for Elders podcast and radio show. We are the North Star that guides you through the complicated journey of senior care with trusted experts in money, law, living solutions, and more. So join us on this station, your favorite podcast channel, or just go to answersforelders.com. Meet the way showers who will help your journey go a lot easier.